Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Right now, right? So, but then 2019 happens, like that was your best chance. That was your lightning in the bottle moment and year. And you know what? You had a chance to be that guy. You, what was he, like 18 for 22 for 180 yards and 2 touchdowns. And this, like, he was looking really good.
285, then, not 185, yeah, 285.
Going into the third quarter.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
or going Super into Bowl. The fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. My bad.
Yeah, but so my point, though, is that, like, he had his moment, and then, you know, he got hurt again, and then he had another moment last year. But the problem is his decision making is just not good.
Exactly.
Like that's what it comes down to. He can't see the field in moments. He's had moments of that. He's made great plays. Obviously, we know the Saints game. We know the Cardinals and the Rams from that year. But it comes bottom down line to just like his decision making is not good. But really quickly, I just wanted to say that I got up last night or this morning at 3 to watch the Warriors, and I'm real excited about James Wiseman. I hope that dude can stay healthy.
Man. Hey, you know what? You know what, Adam? You and I both. And I think it's going to be a special, special season of Warriors basketball. And that makes me smile. Because James Wiseman, look, he's gone through a lot. He's gone through a lot so far. Only played 39 games. Today, after the game, he told the media, you know, guys, this is my first NBA game in front of a crowd.
What?
Played during the pandemic.
Wow, that's crazy.
No fans. This is his first game in front of... Now,
who's rawr?
Now,
Wiseman or Trey Lance?
Trey Lance. I think
they're pretty close.
They're close, but I got Trey Lance. Wiseman, we've seen glimpses.
I know, but...
We've seen glimpses. First 20 games. You think about this. First 24 games for James Wiseman. He was averaging 12-6 in 20 minutes. Kevin Garnett, you know what he did in his first 24 games? Average 6-3 in 18 minutes. All right, again, I'm not saying Wiseman's better than Kevin Garnett, but they both came out the same time, right? Right after high school.
I don't even know if Jermaine O'Neal played for the first 2 years.
Didn't even play. Think about Rasheed Wallace, his first 24 games in his
rookie year. And he was more seasoned. He was a sophomore, I believe, when he came out.
Yeah, he left after his sophomore year.
Yeah.
Played 2 years in North Carolina.
Rasheed.
He averaged 10-5 his rookie season in 28 minutes.
Why did we do, real quick, just put a little bow on this for just a second. That year, we took like the 7th best ACC player.
Oh, no, Joe Smith.
Yeah, like in terms of prospects for the NBA.
Didn't take Stackhouse,
Rasheed Wallace. I mean, come on.
Antonio McDice was good before he blew out his knees. Yeah, we don't need to go back there. We know.
Who was the other guy? Was it Lonnie Baxter?
Joe Smith? No, that was way later.
Okay.
Lonnie Baxter.
There was another Maryland guy who was good.
Lonnie Baxter was Chris Wilcox.
That was later.
He was with Lonnie Baxter.
He was with Juan Dixon.
Juan Dixon and Steve Blakenham.
Yeah.
Len Bias was Maryland back in the
80s. Yeah, that was before. Yeah.
Before Joe Smith.
I know Smith was rookie of the year, but he just wasn't.
He wasn't the guy.
Yeah.
But you look at Rasheed Wallace.
A lot of Mac Jones there.
10-5 his rookie season in 28 minutes. A lot of Mac Jones. Dwight Howard, 12-10 in 33 minutes his rookie year.
Wow.
And through 24 games. Wiseman was raw and yet still giving the 12-6. Trying to learn how to play with Stephen Curry while getting yelled at all day long by Draymond Green. Now he's had a couple years. He's learned the system. He's got a nice big man coach. Big Dino's out there giving him the entry passes. I think Wiseman's going to be... Looney and Wiseman, a combination at 5? I feel really good about center. I guarantee you, if they both stay healthy, nobody's going to be calling about the Warriors needing a big.
That's been the mantra for like 5 straight years.
Right. They need a big. They need a big. They need a big.
Can we bring Omri Caspi in?
They don't need a big. By the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And do not forget that you can also watch us every day on our YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game. Do not forget, as well, if you missed the game this morning, it aired at 3 in the morning out in Japan. You can catch the replay this afternoon, actually early evening at 6 p.m. right after Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. And then Monday, all day long, 95.7 The Game will be live from the Hilton, starting with Willard and Dibs at 9 o'clock, Steiny and Guru from 12 to 3, David and Rado from 3 to 6. It'll all be down during the day as we get you ready for Monday Night Football between the Rams and the Niners. Might as well call us the home of the Niners, right? I mean, it feels like it.
You bring up Rasheed Wallace, and have him and E-40 squashed the funk?
I don't know if they did.
Is that one of the great all-time diss tracks?
Oh, it's unbelievable. And I was a Rasheed Wallace fan, and once E-40 ethered him, it's like, yeah, I'm done with Rasheed.
Wasn't it E-40 and his crew underneath the hoop when they got into it with the Trailblazers?
Yeah, Chris Mills and them. Yeah. There was big-time funk. Yeah, Rasheed Wallace,
watching
dude.
New York Undercover. Record
haters.
Hey, man, record, you know, I'm with that Red Man, Method Man, Wu-Tang Clan.
We're not with those E-40s. Oh, what you mad at?
Oh, dude, that song hits so hard. A Young Droopy.
Yeah, Hall of Game is sick.
It's one of the all-time albums.
Hall of Game is so sick.
Next time you FaceTime with 40, can you ask him that question on my behalf?
I will.
Chasky wants to know, you still funking with Rasheed Wallace?
I think the people want to know.
Yeah.
People want to know. I need to ask him that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because we played that song over and over, and that beat hit.
So hard.
That beat hit.
So hard. Record haters.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing the straight up non-explicit version.
Yeah, it's tough to do that. But how excited are you about the Dubs, man?
I mean, look at James Wiseman's highlights, right? Because I didn't watch the game. But I'm looking at the highlights, and I'm saying to myself, my God, he looks great.
See the roll on the slip screen from Steph Curry?
He's cocking it back below the shoulder and yamming on dudes. I can't wait for this.
Oh,
everybody was hyping up Kuminga and Moody, and watch Wiseman come out of nowhere and be like, hold my beer.
Yeah. Hey, remember me? I was a number 2 overall pick. Remember me? James Wiseman here, and he looks good.
All the Lonzo, all the people screaming for Lonzo. LaMelo. I feel like it's kind of working itself out naturally.
Yes.
And he could still be a good player on his team, and Wiseman could still be a good player on his team.
Right.
That's the thing that kind of bugs me with some of these. We do this with quarterbacks. Why can't all these guys be decent on their particular teams? Why does someone always have to be a bust?
Right. And he's not a bust yet. And it's a big year for James Wiseman. He's learning from Looney. He's learning from Draymond. There's gonna be tough to crack minutes on this team. Think about how deep they are with Jamichael Green, Dante DiVincenzo. You got the youngsters in Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga. You still have Jordan Poole coming off the bench.
He looks good. Man.
He looked really good. He was in his bag. Klay Thompson's not going to play in Japan.
There you go.
Jordan Poole has all that.
Shortest shorts in Warrior history.
I'm not mad at it. They're nice, though. He's in a great mood. Let me tell you, Jordan Poole, he's got the Docker sponsorship now. I mean, he's going to have a monster year. Obviously, there's money on the line. And the question that's going to loom all season is, can Joe Lacob keep this team together? Can Joe Lacob and Bob Myers pay everybody? I think that's going to just work itself out organically. I think it is.
I think we should just live in the now. And that's what I would tell people. Like, you know, we look back on the 88, 89, 99ers that were in 3 consecutive NFC Championship games, 2 Super Bowls. And I think if I would have told a 49er fan, you're going to wait another 5 years to get a Super Bowl, and then you're not going to get another one for another 35 years, we would all probably look back and go, man, maybe we should have enjoyed it more. Having looking back at the Giants' recent run, you know, did we really truly enjoy it in the moment? I think we did a little, because we didn't do the money thing like we do in basketball. I feel like we're so quick to worry about next year and the year after that, and then 3 years from now, how are you going to sign this guy? Can we just live in the now? We did this with Durant, and I think a lot of fans realize, like, this is probably Durant's last year.
Right.
Let's enjoy this for what it is as best we can.
Oh, it was annoying. It was annoying radio to talk about what was going to happen in the offseason and not during the season when the Warriors were going for a three-peat.
Yeah.
Think about that. They were trying to do something that the Bulls in the 90s, or excuse me, the Lakers in the early 2000s had done, the last team to do it, which was three-peat. They're going to etch their names next to the Lakers, to the Bulls, and the Celtics. And yet it was hijacked by everything. Hijacked by the Kevin Durant news. And I don't want to do that with Wiggins, Poole, and Draymond. And I especially don't want to do that with James Wiseman finishing with 20 points. 8 of 11, 5 dunks. Had a lefty hook. Anthony Slater's sweetened right now. Lefty hook, 2 free throws in the final couple minutes. Presence at the rim. I want to live in it now. Because it's special. This is special. Clay, Steph, Draymond. Like, living through those. Like, that's why it was so fun last year. The regular season meant something again.
Of course.
That was so cool about last year because it wasn't necessarily about the seeding and about the match. It was just about the development, well, where they were going to be at going into the playoffs. Were they healthy going into the playoffs? Because I told you all year, I'll take my chances on this team if they're healthy. We still haven't seen Dre, Clay, and Steph lose a series when they all start and they're all healthy. Think about that.
I don't think we've seen a regular season game with the three of them. I think that'll be a stat we'll see at some point. In how long? Like, Draymond started the game and came out.
Right.
But that didn't count as a real game, like, in my eyes. So what is it, like 700 days or something like that since the last time they played a regular season game together?
Yeah. It's been a long time.
I think it was 13 minutes? Well, yeah, I don't even know.
11 minutes? 7 minutes? Something like that. It was bad. It was the Celtics game.
That's right.
The Celtics game. Steph went down with Marcus Smart. Yeah.
Marcus Smart went diving into his knee.
Marcus Smart went down.
Well, the other thing I keep thinking about is Kuminga, Moody, Jordan Poole specifically, being in that environment last year, the Western Conference Finals, the Finals, to go to Boston, to be down multiple times in that series. I mean, the experience that you draw from an opportunity like that, you can draw from that experience your entire career.
Moody played a little in those Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, he was a fourth quarter.
Had some good minutes. So he'll draw off of that. Kuminga hopefully will learn mentally. Wiseman sitting back, and he said, man, just being around there, just being around the team, it did wonders for him. And Jordan Poole, how much growth is he going to get for... Because his playoffs were a little up and down at times. There are times he exploded.
He finished pretty strong, though.
He finished strong against the Celtics.
There was a moment in time, you're right, he got a little physical and he was a little erratic, but I felt like he finished really strong in that Celtics Finals.
He did. So let's relive some moments from last year. You saying you don't want to fast forward?
I don't.
And I don't either.
It's a hot tub season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do explain.
Well, a little champagne. We're chilling.
Cigars?
Maybe cigars. Yes, absolutely. Maybe cigars.
A little confetti?
Yeah. I've got the TV angled, you know, so I could see it from the hot tub.
No, there's no pot. There's no pot.
Why not? It's legal.
There's no pot.
CBD companies. I'll pull a Carlos Correa. Come get me. I'm for sale.
You sell anything, that's for sure. You are for sale.
You know what I'm doing today?
What's that?
Kirby is coming and washing my car, and boy, it needs a bath.
Where is he washing it at?
Right out in front.
Oh, wow.
They're coming to me.
Uncle runs to port, and you got Kirby coming to wash your car.
Oil 50.
And my brother's at the airport. My dad was at the airport for however many years.
So the
water treatment plant.
It's the Shasky's world. We're just all living in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Dribble drive by Horford to the lane. Floats it over to the corner. Back to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball. Got it. Oh, my goodness. He's got 33.
But how about Peyton throwing it right back to him, knowing who to get the ball to?
Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Look, Niners and Rams on Monday, and it's Beat LA week. It's Beat LA. And we'll really be amped up for Monday morning when the Rams are in town and... No, because the Rams took something that we all have wanted since 1994 and 95, and that's the Super Bowl championship. They stole it. Absolutely stole it from the Niners. 20-17 in the NFC championship game. But with the Warriors being back today, we figure we celebrate them being back on the floor. That highlight right there, Jim Barnett, Tim Roy, Boston, parquet floor, Friday night, game 4. Warriors down 2-1. A gotta-have-it game. Don't want to come back home down 3-1. You would have had to win 3 straight against the Celtics. And Steph Curry saved, I mean, just an unbelievable performance. And it started with the roar at the end of the first quarter, looking at the Boston crowd saying, I'm here, I'm him, I'm 30, and I'm stealing this championship away from you guys. Unbelievable performance in game 4. Got to relive that.
It's one of the greatest games in Barrier sports history. And I think that we can't talk enough about it. And I know that sometimes these games get kind of jumbled up in a series, you know, whether it's baseball or basketball, and we forget about them over time. Mm-hmm. I think game four is one of the greatest individual games in the history of the NBA, but specifically for Barrier sports fans in general. That game was just magical.
Up there with Jerry Rice, Super Bowl 23.
Yeah, the 200 yards.
Joe Montana, Super Bowl 24 against the Broncos. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Steve Young throwing a 6 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl against the Chargers.
Absolutely.
I mean, Buster Posey, Bumgarner, Game 7 against the Royals.
Bumgarner, Game 7.
That's the Lincecum game.
That's actually probably the closest thing. I mean, you get 6 combined outs from your starters in Game 6 and Game 7, and Bumgarner comes out the pen and finds a way to win that game. Yeah, that's about as close as you can come. But Bumgarner's, because of baseball and because he did it so many times in that short span, pitching is very unique, and I don't want to dismiss him. But what Steph Curry did, I mean, Bonte, because that was a legacy game for him. Legacy. Like, his entire legacy, everything that they've built, it felt like the narratives surrounding him were going to change one way or the other. Like, Bumgarner was already kind of like, oh, you know, he's a great player. I don't think we look at him in a negative light if he loses that game. Obviously, he's elevated to Paul Bunyan status. But, like, think of what the narrative would be like if Curry and the Warriors lost that series to the Celtics.
Can't get it done by himself.
I mean,
needed Kevin Durant. Can't lead a team to a championship.
Done by himself. Can you believe that? That's what we've been hearing.
Remember when I did that hit in Boston, and I want to go back to that day. You know, everybody said, ah, Steph needs Hall of Famers, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, did Larry Bird need Hall of Famers? Did Magic Johnson need Hall of Famers? So the talking points going into that game, the pressure, you could feel it. But I feel like that morning, remember we had Chris Mullin on that day. And Mullin came on and said, what up, Roasters? What up, Bonte and Shasky? What's good? And he set the tone for the day. And when we walked out of there, you and I walked all around Boston. We ate lobster tails, we had crab, you guys are losing game four. Dude, you guys are losing game four. We told every Celtic fan, you're losing tonight. And when Steph Curry came out there and did what he had to do with the 43, and don't forget, down the stretch, some big shots by Wiggins, the big tip.
Yes.
Klay Thompson with some huge shots.
I think JP hit one at the end of the third quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. And I got to give Draymond credit. He was unplayable for multiple games. Right. And then in the fourth quarter, he made a couple strips.
Yep. And he was big. Looney with a couple big offensive rebounds.
Looney was so good.
So my question then, I guess, as we relive game four.
God, feels like forever ago.
Feels like forever. And they were showing it on NBA TV the other day, and I was like, wow, what a series that was. Because game five was sick. Game five was sick, too. Curry inside hitting threes. Then hit 1-3. But then you get Andrew Wiggins with 26 and 13. Dropping 26 and 13.
How many total Warrior fans were in that arena? I don't think people realize, like, when you go to a normal, like, Warrior game on the road,
right,
you get a lot of Warrior fans showing up.
Games 3 and 4 in Boston, probably a combined 50 Warrior fans.
I was sitting by myself in the upper bowl, and I'm standing the whole time. I thought I was going to get knocked out. That's number one. Number two,
you always think that.
All I kept hearing from them was like, stop him! Stop! And they're yelling at Steph Curry, and they just kept saying, he's incredible. He's incredible. He's incredible. And he was so good. Dude,
43 points.
He was so sick.
14 to 26, 7 to 14 from the 3-point line, 8 to 9 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds. 10 rebounds. We forgot about that one. 4 assists for Steph Curry, and a guy to have a game 4 against the Boston Celtics. And I just saw Dave Johnson on YouTube say, Bums, game 7 is the greatest game in Bay Area playoff history.
Wow.
I would love to open that up.
Wow.
888-957-9570.
Wow.
Is Steph Curry's Game 4 performance the most iconic in Bay Area sports history? It's got to be on the Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah, I think they're both on it.
Who would be the candidates if you had to throw candidates in there?
Wow, that's a tough one.
Because you could do like a 16
game bracket. So let me ask you this. It has to be a close game, right?
It has to be a close game.
Right, so like Montana's final drive, you know, the 2-minute drive in 88, which is like the gold standard for 2-minute drives. Jerry Rice was the one who had MVP for that game.
Right.
Right, but like, man, you definitely got Steph up there for that game 4.
Montana the next year against Denver.
I mean,
it was flawless.
They destroyed them, though, 55-10.
I know.
So it's tough for me to do that. But I definitely think Bumgarner's up there. I would throw Lincecum in there somewhere.
That game 1, Tim Hudson.
I mean, even the game 5 or whatever, the one that
against
they ended.
Texas.
They clinched. He went 7 strong, 8 strong in that one when Renteria hit the home run. Remember, they were down in that game 1-0. I believe he beat Cliff Lee twice in that series.
Yeah.
Cliff Lee was incredible. I don't think people remember that. I mean, the Roy Halladay game with Cody Ross?
Yeah, yeah, that was big time.
So many. God, that's a great question. Definitely Bumgarner and Steph Curry are up there. There's no doubt about that. They're up there. God, I mean, you want to say like, well, Ishikawa, you know, Scudero in one of the, but it's like.
Yusuf Goglin's coming in on Comcast Business Text Line.
Bum's definitely, to me, Bum is cemented up there because that's a game seven of a World Series that he pitched three times in.
Right.
So he's definitely in there. And I think Steph's game, me personally, I have Steph's game four in there. I think that's the greatest game Steph Curry's ever played.
Wow.
Given the magnitude of how big that moment
Fitz
was.
Fitz said that too. Fitz said it as well.
I mean, I said it the next day. Yeah. People said I was crazy.
5-1-0. Pablo Sandoval, 3-home-run game.
Wow.
World Series.
Or the original Game 6 Clay against the Thunder in 2016.
Wow. Yeah, you know what? Wow.
That game, you know.
How did we not think of that?
So that game right there.
But they didn't win a championship
They didn't
that
win a championship. But that game right there.
One of the greatest games in the history of the
Warriors. I go back and watch that game.
It's incredible.
And I sit there and I'm just like, I have goosebumps because how did they pull this off? There were so many plays. The Andre Iguodala strip on Russell Westbrook.
Yes.
We forget that Curry closed it with the nice little floater over Serge Ibaka.
Mm-hmm.
The three he hit in the corner. It was
Billy
just,
Donovan not calling timeout.
Not calling timeout. It was unbelievable theater.
I stood for that entire game.
Oh, that game. Whoa.
Me and my Uncle Jeff up the Russian River in the cabin watching on a tube TV.
So
I'll never forget it.
So you stood. I laid down on the couch.
What do you love, Neil, doing Joe Lo and Dibs?
So to calm my nerves, because I remember that day. That's good knowledge. No, that day, it was a Saturday afternoon. Saturday game, 5 o'clock, TNT, of course. Uh-huh. And I drove around the city and I told my boy Fred Office, my guy Igor, come to the house. It's me and you watching. He's the biggest Warrior fan I've known on this planet. Diehard since the early 90s. And I was just like, just come watch this game with me. So he brings his, like, 7-foot bong with him to the house. You know, I got me a little something-something. And I'm just laying on the couch, and I was like,
cookies.
We're just going to sit here and watch. And we're going to just be ourselves, lay down on the recliner, and just watch.
Okay.
We thought we were watching the funeral, but we were just going to watch. And at halftime of that game, we looked at each other and say, how are the Warriors only down 5? We're still in this game. We're still in this game. We're still in this game. And the laying down continued until the end of the game where we both looked at each other and we pumped our fists in the air and said, we'll see you Monday night at Oracle Memorial Day.
So if we were going to put out this
is a good one. Real quick, game 7, Sharks Knights down 3-0 to 3. I was at that hockey game.
Damn.
I was there when they scored 4.
I was working here with Ryan Covey as he was trying to host a show, screaming and yelling at the TV.
That was
Tommy
the same.
Call was being interviewed. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Tommy Call was being interviewed?
Yeah, it was a draft thing. We were doing like an NFL draft recap and Covey was on. Right.
So that day, that was the same day Dame Lillard said bye-bye to Oklahoma City of Paul George.
Yeah, that was incredible.
It was incredible theater.
So if we were to set parameters on this, and we're still in a Dibs bit when we're doing with the Mount Rushmore thing, but like if you were to, you know, put 5 or 4 of them up there.
I would make
like Kaepernick's Green Bay game to me is one of the greatest individual performances.
Because
it didn't happen in a Super Bowl, like I feel like it gets negated by Steve Young's 6 touchdowns Montana's.
So it sounds like the criteria has to be you have to win the championship.
It feels like it because I don't want to diminish Klay Thompson's game 6 because it's one of the greatest games in Barry sports history. It's like no doubt about it. I'm not here to take anything away, but I do think we should start with championships.
All right, so let's just start.
Maybe
with
I'm wrong. Am I wrong?
Let's go championship performances. Let's simplify it for our audience. 888.
So then you throw Steve Young on
9570. Championship performances.
Montana.
What is the top championship performance? We're not even going to do Mount Rushmore.
And I would say
I want one.
I would say Montana's 84 dismantling of Dan Marino might actually have been more impressive given the hype and everything, and using Roger Craig out of the backfield as a fullback might have been better than the 89. But we can argue.
That may have been the best Niner team of all time.
That's what I'm saying. 15-1 or whatever that year.
So best championship performances. We got Steph game 4 against the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. You have Madison Bumgarner game 7 against the Royals. You have Pablo Sandoval, 3 home runs game 1 against the Detroit Tigers. 2 off of Justin Verlander. Giants sweep the Tigers. Dave Stewart's got to be up there somewhere, right?
Yeah, who won 2 World Series games against the Giants in the same series during the earthquake.
Snuffed them.
Yeah.
Snuffed
He's absolutely got to be on there.
Greatest championship performances. Don't forget, Wiseman's 20-9 last night. We will not forget about that. Jamie Baker's goal in Game 7 versus the Red Wings. Sharks were the 8th seed. Now, was that like 1994?
Yeah, 95? That was a first or second round?
That was first round. Okay. Sharks were on KICU, Action 36. Artis Erbe was the goalie.
Artis Erbe, number 35 or 31?
I don't know the number, but I know he was the goalie. Artis Erbe. They beat the Red Wings in Motown in a game 7. 925, Comcast Business Text Line. What year was that? What year was it? 94? Was it 95? Had to be one of those years. Let's go to Sway in Redwood City. Sway, what's happening? Listening on the car radio. He's got a championship performance.
Give it to me.
What's happening, Sway?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm caller. I love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. You guys kind of stole my thunder with the Pablo Sandoval, the 3 home runs. I also wanted to mention the Baron Davis with the We Believe team when we took out the Mavs. Man, come on now.
That was good. But we're talking we're going championship performances because there's a slew of performances.
Yeah.
Championship performances. Pablo, top championship performance for you?
Yeah, for sure. I remember that. So I'm gonna tell my grandkids about that. Actually, you know what I mean. I'm gonna remember that forever. Yeah. That was one hell of a game.
I think a lot of people will. I think he's right on that one. That Pablo one. Tough to put the hierarchy together, but that Pablo, 3 home runs off for Verlander at the height of his powers.
Two off of Verlander, smacks it around. They smoked the Tigers that day.
But the Tigers.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Go back and look at that staff.
I remember I had a bet with
Annabelle Sanchez, Max Scherzer.
A lot of people picked the Tigers to win that series.
That team was sick. Ian Kinsler, Prince Fielder, Miguel Cabrera.
They were stacked.
That team was so good. Omar Infante.
Look at Sterling. What the hell is he doing here? Oh, wait. He was running a Warriors game. That's a trooper. Dude was up at 1:30 in the morning.
He's got
to get off that Boston hat, though. What the hell is that?
Yeah, he's waiting for some Niner content for Niner Web Zone.
Oh, he wants to talk Garoppolo?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Sterling Bennett. Those Twitter fingers be moving, man. I didn't know he had it in him.
Him and Schefter be going at it.
You know, we used to do the overtime show with us on the Niners pre- and post-game show. He'd be half asleep. Then I see him tweet. I'm like, damn, he's active.
Would any of the Kevin Durant games from the 415, when he hit the 3 in Braun's face, he did it back-to-back year.
You got to put that up there, right?
I mean,
2017.
He was pretty damn awesome.
Game 3.
Yeah.
And they were losing that game.
Pretty awesome.
Remember that game?
Was that the losing? Charge block game?
No. That was 2018.
Yeah, okay.
That
was what was the charge block game?
Yeah,
they got the benefit of the doubt on that.
They reversed the call.
Yes, they did.
Against LeBron, too.
Yes.
But no, game three, 2017, Cleveland was up. Remember Kyle Korver missed a short corner three that could have sealed the deal for the Cavaliers. Kevin Durant grabs a rebound, comes up the floor, and just nails it. That's a great one.
You know what? They didn't win the championship. I want people to go back. There's two highlights I would love for you to look at. Bonds off Troy Percival. Bonds off Frankie Rodriguez.
Yeah, those,
had a monster World Series.
Listen.
He hit the farthest ball I've ever seen in my life. Right. And Tim Salmon in the dugout goes, oh my God, that's the farthest ball I've ever seen. He hit it so deep. We need to find that highlight.
Okay.
He off Troy Percival to that. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
And they were losing in that game.
Yeah,
and Troy Percival tried to.
That was game two. They lost 10-9 in game two.
That ball still hasn't landed.
They lost 10-9.
He hit another one off Frankie Rodriguez, who K-Rod, who was so sick.
Well, game six, it felt like the ceiling. It was like, that was the cherry on top. It was the cherry on top. And I remember looked at my grandma, I said, Giants, Grandma Essie, I said, the Giants are going to win the World Series.
So you're the one who did it. You jinxed us.
I sat there and watched that game. So that was a game, you know, we were like 20, right? 21.
Uh-huh.
You and I. Partied all that series. And then game six was like, I'm watching it with my grandma.
Yeah.
I'm watching it with Grandma Essie. I got to be here.
I never told you about what I was doing.
No.
Working at Tower Market. I'll never forget. This is the pre-cell phone era. I called my boy Matt Murphy. I'm like, I'm coming over. He's like, I got champagne. We're going to go crazy. I left in midway through the seventh inning, okay, of the at work.
You know, game six?
I had to take the streetcar. I was busting it back then, hoofing it. I got off the streetcar and everybody was emptying out of the bars like, did you see what happened? I'm like, no, I didn't see what happened. Scott Spezio. And my heart sank. And this is the pre-cell phone era.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I had gotten off of work late.
Wow.
We were all listening. I didn't have a transistor radio.
Wow.
Well, I was poor.
Well, I was sitting there and when Bonds hit it.
Wow, wow, wow.
And then when Dusty Baker, for some reason, he gave the game ball to Russ Ortiz. And Russ Ortiz, that whole season, it would be runners on first and second, no outs. He get the strikeout, he get the inning, double play, and it was a wrap. But for some reason, Dusty was like, I got to go to the bullpen. And Felix Rodriguez, oh my gosh.
He had moments.
Blew 2 years ago.
He grooved
it. He blew the Marlins game.
I know.
Marlins game, they rallied for 5-0, and he gave up 2 runs. It was 7-5. And then, of course, JT Snow gets thrown out. But he had that 9-pitch at bat, and Spezio just fouled the ball,
with the flavor saver.
Oh, that's a tough one.
The 5-1-0 saying that I went to City Nights after that game. That's a good one.
Oh, gosh.
That's a funny one.
Kevin Barlow?
What about Edgar Renteria hitting the home run? And then Andres Torres, he told me he was going to do it. It was like my favorite soundbite of all time.
Gosh, I'm pulling up the World Series. Let's get the Duke in the city. I'm going to pull up the World
Series. What up, Duke?
Duke has some greatest moments in championship history. I miss Boston. What up, Duke?
Happy Friday. Man, what's up with y'all? Man, y'all know what it is. Happy Friday to the
family. Friday.
Man, the
Happy
brother
Friday.
Matthews. Man, y'all already know what it is, man. Talking about great championship revisits. I'm sitting in my office right now. Just, I do have an office. I'm sitting in my office, and I'm looking at this picture that my boy Mikey Watson, shout out to the local 10 Longstormer.
Nice.
My boy Mikey Watson, you know, it's one of them. I looked at it. I'm like, Mike, where you steal this from? Because it looks like one of them barbershop pictures. You know how the barbershop pictures be?
Yeah.
It's a picture of 349ers. One of them got to be Dwayne Board. I see a 97. I don't think it could be Brian Young, because I don't know if Brian Young and Dwayne Board played at the same time, but they are sacking Dan Marino.
Oh,
that's one of the biggest ones, because look at this. Dan had a chance to win the Super Bowl. He didn't get there too many times.
No, but he didn't get there again.
He already knew when he got there against us, it was a no-go.
Yeah, that's a great call. He had thrown for 5,000 yards that year.
48 touchdown passes.
It was one of the greatest passing seasons ever.
I think Josh Allen is about to have a Dan Marino-type 84 seed. I tweeted that one out because he threw 48 touchdown passes.
With the Marks brothers, Mark Duper and Mark Clayton, who were so sick.
So sick.
And that was Don Shula had drafted him the year prior, and that famous 83 class, and Dan Marino famously said after walking off the field, I'm gonna get back here, and he never did.
And he never got back.
Yeah.
He got close, but never got back.
You know, by the way, that's the last Dolphin playoff win was Dan Marino.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, they've
had some other playoff wins.
Not since Marino left in 2002. I'm not saying that 84 team. Since Dan Marino had retired. I don't think I articulated it.
They lost the wild card games to the Ravens.
With Chad Pennington.
Yep, Chad Pennington. Yep, no, they haven't done anything.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Damn, they didn't win one with Jay Feeler?
Nope. Their last playoff win was Dan Marino.
Because they got smoked by the Raiders in the second round.
And Jimmy Johnson's final game with Dan Marino, they lost like 48-7 or something.
52-7 to Jacksonville.
There you go.
I think the last time they were in the playoffs was a couple years ago. Matt Moore had to play because Tannehill got hurt or something, and he got lit up against the Steelers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And they actually were in the game. So I've just looked up these numbers here.
The Bonds World Series?
Seven games.
2002.
17 at bats.
By the way, before you say that, he couldn't perform in the playoffs was the narrative at that time.
Well, so his batting average.
Yeah.
Seven games.
Yeah.
471. He batted 471.
How many walks?
13 walks.
13 walks in seven games.
Six RBIs.
Uh-huh.
Four home runs.
Oh, my God.
Eight hits and 17 official at bats. 471 batting average. On base percentage, 700. Slugging
700.
Slugging 1.294. His OPS was nearly 2,000 for that World Series.
What makes me so sad?
That is one of the greatest championship performances, and we don't even talk about it because they lost the series.
Ever. He was so sick. Again, we got to find the Troy Percival home run. Tell me we got to find. It's one of my favorite home runs of all time. Joe Buck, and I believe, who was the guy?
Joe Buck and Tim McCarver.
Tim McCarver. Oh, Dion, real mature.
Yeah.
When Dion poured the Gatorade on him.
It's unbelievable. Last time Dolphins won a playoff game, the year 2000. They beat the Colts. Was Dan Marino still quarterback in 2000?
Yeah, no. I think he was.
It was Jay Feeler. Jay Feeler was a quarterback.
Marino was still playing.
This was Jay Feeler. Damien Hewitt, Lamar Smith was playing running back. 2000, they beat the Colts. 23-17, they beat Peyton Manning in a wild card game. Oh. That's right. I remember this game. Remember ABC had those wild card
Marino
Saturdays?
Wasn't on that team?
No, this was Jay Feeler.
Marino didn't retire until like 2002.
No, he retired in like 99 maybe. 2000, I'm looking at it right now. Dave Juan said coach.
I'll stand down.
No, it's all good. Mike Shula was a quarterback's coach. Mike Shula, not Dan Shula, his father. They beat the Cardinals.
There's
been a lot of Dolphin talk because it's Tua Tagovailoa.
Here is Troy Percival trying to close out a game at Angel Stadium with the rally monkey.
Marino retired after the 99 season.
Oh, I thought it was 2000. All right, well, here we go. Give it to me. Bonds versus Troy Percival.
Ripped into right field. It's a 1-1 game as Bonds gets his second of the series. You could see Salmon saying in the dugout, "That's the furthest ball I've ever seen hit."
See? I thought it was Tim Salmon. Someone said it was Troy Gloss who said it. I thought it was Tim Salmon.
Yeah, it was Tim Salmon said.
That's the farthest ball I've ever. And by the way, Joe Buck called that before it even left the field.
Yeah, it was the ball. I still don't know where it landed.
Well, it was so foggy.
Yeah, I don't know where it landed. It was unbelievable. Again, Barry Bonds batted 471 in that World Series.
I think JT Snow also batted over 400 in that series, but I could be wrong. Clearly, my Dan Marino numbers aren't accurate.
No, you're 1 year off. That's all. Because I knew in the back of my head, I was like, Jay Feeler won a game. And it was that crazy Colts game because Vanderjagt was blowing field goals.
Oh, liquored up kicker.
Yeah, liquored up kicker. Idiot kicker, liquored up.
Liquored up kicker. That is still an all-time line from Peyton.
JT Snow, that World Series.
Give it to me.
His former team, the
Angels.
Give
it to me.
Seven games.
Give it to me.
11 hits. Wow, he had 11 hits and 27 at-bats.
He was awesome.
A home run, four RBIs.
Told you.
407 batting average.
Oh, look at me.
1,000 OPS.
And I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
OPS. Wow, Shinjo batted 167.
Oh, dude, if Andres Galarraga doesn't miss that whole year because of the cancer, he's the DH. We win that World Series.
Jeff Kent, 276, three home runs.
Hey, Kent's a bad dude. He was awesome.
Barry Bonds batted 471.
But he'll walk 13 times.
Dude.
Great. Seven games.
So unbelievable. Steve in Santa Rosa listening on the radio. Then we'll get back to Duke because he's got some bars for us. Steve Santa Rosa listening on our radio. Greatest championship performances. Yeah. What's happening?
Eric Wright. in the Dallas game, and I want to, you know, preface this with, you know, we were in the stands, and we all had memories of Dallas and Roger Staubach coming back and beating the Niners against Brody, who, if he had a better coach, would have probably won a couple.
Was that the onside kick game when they were up 14 points with less than, or 13 points with less than 5 minutes to go or whatever?
They got the onside kick.
Yeah, Dick Nolan, let's sit on the lead, coach. But that's, you know, old news. The big play was, you know, the catch, and we go ahead. And then Dallas comes out on the first play, throws a pass over the middle, and Drew Pearson is gone.
Yep.
He is headed for the goal line, and Eric Wright comes up and grabs him by the collar, drags him down.
Yep.
They were already in field goal position at that point.
Yep.
And me and my buddy looked at each other and just went, no. Not again. And then the next play, we recovered, and the game was over. But that moment, you know, between that play was like the highest tension for a couple of 49er fans that had already seen Dallas make these miracle comeback wins before to go to the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
That play, I mean, he was gone. Bruce Pearson was gone. He was midfield and running, you know, on the first play. And we were like, oh, no, not again.
That's a good one, the fumble recovery. Yeah, Eric Wright, horse collar, would have been called
was
today.
Jim Stuckey with Danny Jim White Stuckey. Fumbling? Was
Jim
that what
Stuckey,
it was?
Dwight Clark's old buddy from Clemson.
Yeah.
Jim Stuckey. Remember that? Yeah. He's a character. We found out on the show. He's a character.
Missouri's Eric Wright. Four-time champion.
Four-time champ. Let's go to Alex in Livermore. This is a good one.
Give it to me,
on
Alex.
On the Odyssey app. Yeah. Alex, what's happening?
What's up, Alex?
The roast.
I'd love to hear it.
What's happening, fellas? Hey, I'm a diehard Raider fan, but I got to say, when the Niners held the Bengals on the one-yard line, I was with my dad at the time. I was a young kid, and he was an actor, and we were sitting backstage, and I remember all the actors and actresses running back out of each scene to watch to see if they could hold them, and it was just one of the best memories that I have of the Bay Area sports.
That's a great call. The iconic black-and-white photo of Ronnie Lott jumping in the air while you have Hacksaw Reynolds and a bunch of those defensive linemen.
Yeah, Bonds was in that.
Yeah, stuffing them at the one-yard line. That's an iconic, iconic moment in 49er history.
Pontiac Silverdome. Oh, Dibs. Wow. Dibs is actually listening to the show.
What's he saying?
I'm looking at numbers here, and Dibbers just pops up on my phone.
No, I like this.
Bonds had one home run in the 97 postseason. Bonds had one home run in 97 postseason at-bats before 2002. So he did come up short.
Well, that was with Pittsburgh, and then they obviously he got pitched around.
To be fair, he did stink it up with the Giants for a while.
Let's go through this. He didn't make the playoffs with the Giants until 97. 97, they lost in a three-game series to the Marlins.
Wasn't good.
A one-game play-in against Sammy Sosa and the Cubs, and they lost that.
Wasn't good.
He wasn't good. 2000, they lost to the Mets.
Wasn't good.
In 2001, he finally broke out.
Wasn't good.
And when he was with the Pirates back in the day, everyone remembers him for the Sid Bream throw.
Right.
His former teammate.
It wasn't good.
The 6-5 hole.
We'll also remember him striking out a lot. Think about this. His first ever postseason series in 90 against the Cincinnati Reds in six games. Batting averages for each game, 333, 143, 200, 214, 176, 167.
And that's Pirates-Reds?
Pirates. Against the Braves the next year. Dude, he batted less than 200.
Yeah, they got dominated by that pitching staff.
Yeah, 0-4, 167, 182, 188, 150, 130, 148. He did scuffle.
So did A-Rod. I mean,
yeah, so did A-Rod.
Mike Trout doesn't have a victory in the playoffs.
He started getting better. I'm just saying. The postseason struggles were real.
No doubt.
You can't deny that. Let's go to Duke. Back to Duke in the city. It's got some bars for us. What's up, Duke? You're on the roast.
What's up, y'all, man? Y'all know what it is, man. Good morning, man. Y'all said it's the morning roast, man. This show is sizzling hot, man, because that's what y'all do, man. Y'all got the biggest morning show in the United States, man. That's just real talk, man.
We
just tell you what it is, man. Y'all homegrown, man. Y'all say it's basketball season. The Warriors back. In case anybody forgot, man, we got the big trophy. Yeah, boy, back in the Bay. Told you once before that the pay don't play from the Skull to the O to San Jose. Katie should have stayed and got his just dessert. Just the Bay, homeboy. Don't get knocked to the curb. Forget about the nonsense that you thought you heard. Dub show the NBA in the league, no slack. The Warriors on the mission for a back-to-back. And that's how we getting down this year. Warriors, Niners, we hit it!
I love it.
Duke!
I love it. I love it. Duke with the walk-off.
Duke!
Duke with the walk-off. Now give it to me, Spadoni. Game four highlights, 2022 NBA Finals. The chef did what? The chef delivered for the Golden State Warriors as they tied the series at two games apiece.
Off the screen, Poole, not afraid to fire, missed it. Curry, offensive rebound, spins for the layup, and he underhands it up and in. Oh, what a play. Curry down the right sideline, waiting, guarded by White. Off the screen by Looney. Curry fires away. The three ball's good. Top of the key with White making contact. It's a one-point game. The Warriors are not going away.
He wasn't really open, but he's got such a quick release.
27 for Curry. Here comes Curry in the front court. Curry drifting. All eyes on number 30. Bounce pass to Thompson. Fires away. Bang! Thompson, top of the key with a three. The Warriors lead by one.
43 points, 10 rebounds, 14 to 26 from the floor, 7 to 14 for the three-point line. You heard the excitement in Jim Barnett's voice. You heard the excitement in Tim Roy's voice, the play-by-play voice of the Golden State Warriors on the radio side of things. We're going to ask Mark Ibanez at 8 o'clock the greatest championship performances, the greatest championship performances in Bay Area sports history. Mark Ibanez, 8 o'clock. Difference coming in with the 1975 Rick Barry.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one. By the way, just for clarity's sake here, Dibs, while you're at it, you said one home run for Bonds in like 90-something at-bats prior to the 2002?
Yeah.
Willie Mays, one home run in 89 at-bats in
not
the postseason.
Good. Not good. Not good.
And it's a man with 660.
That's not good.
You know?
That's not good. How about this? Raheem Mostert, 200 yards in an NFC championship.
That's a good
game.
One.
Nobody said that one.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot. If we're going 49ers in the playoffs, I do think Kaepernick deserves at least a mention on here. What he did against Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay in the final Candlestick playoff game of all time, where he hung 45 on that team after throwing a pick to start that game off. I mean, you ran for 180 and threw for, I think, 280, 290? Did he throw for 300?
I want to say he threw for 300.
I could be wrong.
100.
And then I remember he made a strike. 100. He threw a strike to Crabtree, and Crabtree caught it, and one of the defenders for Green Bay was talking smack. Kaepernick came flying down to help out Crabtree and then headbutted one of the linebackers. He was awesome.
Threw a dime to Vernon Davis, a nice little deep route, seam route to Vernon Davis in that game. And remember, the game started. People forget this. He threw a pick six.
Everybody
was like, oh, boy, is he ready? Oh, my gosh, he threw a pick six. Oh, no, oh, no. Then a big third down where he had a big run. He had a big toss to Frank Gore on a big one.
On the sideline.
Yep.
Rocco turned to me on the first drive and said, if he holds on to a couple of these keepers, he's running for 200 today. And I looked at him and was like, you're crazy. And he ran for almost 200 that day.
It was. I got to look up these game logs for Kaepernick.
I also think his Green Bay Frozen Tundra wild card game legendary. The next year was also equally as impressive.
No sleeves on. So he threw
Harbaugh in 18 pairs of khakis.
Yes. So he threw for 263 yards. He was 17 to 31, 263, two touchdowns and a pick, 16 carries, 181 yards.
Come on.
And I remember Terry Bradshaw the game, that's some of the best quarterbacking I've ever seen in my life. Terry Bradshaw said that after that game. Some of the best quarterbacking I've ever seen in my life. And then Kaepernick the next week, 233 yards against the Atlanta Falcons, 16-21, threw for 300 in the Super Bowl against the Ravens and also added 62 on the ground. Seattle game, the NFC Championship game we were talking about yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest performances, I think, for both teams. It was a body bag game. He threw for 153, had the two picks, the one interception.
And the
one
fumble
touchdown.
Strip by Michael Bennett. He had a tough game.
But he had 11 carries for 130 yards on the ground.
And that was also the height of the Legion of the Boom. That's what made the Tom Brady performance in the fourth quarter against that version of that secondary so legendary.
How about this, 408 or 480 on the Comcast Business X line? Steph Curry pointing at his ring finger.
Yeah, it was pretty
in game
sweet.
Six in the third quarter was a badass moment.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That
just
was pretty
at
cool.
The rings, like number four.
It's tough to dismiss that.
That's sick.
That's pretty cool.
It's great. Jerry Rice, Super Bowl 23, 11 catches, 215 yards, and a touchdown. We just wanted to go down memory lane because the Warriors are back, and we don't talk enough about Steph's game four performance against the Celtics.
No, we don't, and I'm so excited for this year's Warrior team. I mean, an argument could be made there have been more sexier teams. This might be their best team top to bottom. No, I don't know.
Out of all the championship teams?
Well, I mean, look, we all agree. Draymond, Steph, and Klay probably aren't at the apex of their powers.
Right.
Right. Maybe they're like ticked down a little. But I look at the rest of this roster. I mean, is this the best version of Wiggins?
Top to bottom? maybe their best roster on
Looney paper. Feels like he's in his prime.
Yeah.
I don't think Moody or Kuminga or Wiseman are near that, but we don't know what they're going to be.
Jordan Poole?
He's still ascending. I think we can say that.
Right.
I don't know where, and I don't know how good he can get or how much better he can get. I don't really.
I want Iguodala.
Because well, of Kevin Iguodala, Durant.
Coach Iggy.
Yeah, the Kevin Durant Warriors were top heavy. They were absolutely top heavy. Yeah, but
they lost one game in the playoffs. Yeah,
but they were top heavy, though.
No, I agree. You know what I'm saying? I agree. But they were still pretty damn good.
Oh, they were
really good. The 73 win team was as good as you can get, even though they didn't seal the deal.
From top to bottom, the talent on this team may be better than the 73 win team.
Bottom?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know where this might be one of those teams, but you got to play it out. Like, you got to see where this thing goes. You know, one injury changes everything.
It does. It does.
You know, I'm very excited.
You had KD, Clay, Dre, Steph.
I mean,
Iguodala.
It was Livingston. Box office.
It was box office.
I mean, it was box office.
But you were top heavy.
Yes.
That bench was not good. Trust me, Shasky. The bench was not good.
I know.
It was not.
I know. Believe me, I remember quite well. I remember McCaw, I think, was starting games in a finals.
Alfonso McKinney.
Oh, Alfonso McKinney. God, how could we?
Jordan Bell. Jordan Bell started game one in the NBA Finals in 2019 against the Raptors.
The Candleman?
The Candleman. And he didn't start again in that series. The Candleman. Oh, man. Wow. Zaza Pachulia, the catch, too. The catch, too, is a good one.
Oh, are we putting Zaza stepping on Kawhi in the pantheon of great performances?
Don't bring that up in San Antonio.
The Ian Clark game against the Rockets when Steph Curry hurt himself prior. Draymond gets in a tussle with Michael Beasley on the floor and gets that flagrant.
So Montana to Taylor in Mad Bum game 7 in KD. I think Mad Bum might be number one. As much as I love Curry's game 4, what Mad Bum did.
It's pretty unique.
I don't think we'll ever see something like that again.
I personally am going to go with Curry because of his legacy being so on the line and so much like that. I don't know. Like,
think about
I'm not taking anything away from Bumgarner.
Think about what that did for Bumgarner's career.
Oh, it changed his life forever. It's the same thing with Curt Schilling and Randy Johnson.
Right.
They won that one ring together, essentially, with other players. And it's one of the seminal moments in baseball history. You beat the Yankees in a Game 7 with Luis Gonzalez walk-off, and both of you guys are coming out of the bullpen?
Yeah. Game 7, on the road, Kauffman Stadium. Giants had no bullets left. I mean, Hudson was shot. PV was shot.
Shot.
Bullpen, shot. Like, you had nothing left. It was like, Bum, save us. Save us.
If we're going all-time playoff performances, I still think somewhere in there you got to go Lincecum's game 1 against Atlanta.
If we're going all-time playoff performances, then you add in Lincecum.
And the game 6
Clay.
You add
in Clay Thompson.
Yes. I would even go the overtime game against Portland. I'm back with Steph Curry.
Steph Curry.
Wow. That was an incredible one.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, come on, man.
That was.
Just one more I want to throw in for the record before we get to the injury report.
I swear to God, if you go with some random Giants one from like 2016, I'm going to kill you.
No, I think it's a somewhat under the radar one from 2010. That's Madison Bumgarner. In game 4, we went 8 innings
when they
shut down the Rangers, struck out Vlad 3 times.
Yeah, they were up.
No,
they corrected his pitching
because he had gotten out of whack. Johnny Sanchez was better in the rotation at that time.
No, I'm shutting it down because it's a Giants one. Give me something else, Lutman. Give me a Niners.
That was a
give
great win.
A's.
No, I'm going to go Jeremy Affeldt. Jeremy Affeldt coming out of the bullpen after Johnny Sanchez hits Chase Utley and Mark Gardner tells him to stay there, stay in the bullpen and stay prepared. And he comes out and rolls a 6-4-3 double play. And the Giants win in Philadelphia and Uribe goes thumbs up.
What about Lincecum in that game?
I mean, that whole night, game 6 against the Phillies was just intense and legendary.
We ended the Phillies.
Yeah, they were done after that. They were done.
That team was so sick.
Hey, we're done.
They might be done this year, too. Giants, they're on their heels.
Still alive.
Are you guys really doing this?
Hey, you know what I heard? At 9 o'clock, someone's going to come in and go, you don't want to face this Giants team come playoff time.
Mark Wheeler does that. I will walk out of here. I will walk out of here if he does that.
Mark, I dare
you, Mark. Because part of it is I'm
nobody
get out of here.
Wants to face hey, listen, this Giants.
I wanted
team.
To say that so I could just leave early on a Friday, start this weekend. Go ahead, Mark, say it so I can walk out. Please do, Spadoni. Dave Johnson on YouTube. The Dodgers want to face the Giants in the playoffs. So do the Braves. So do the Mets. So do the Cardinals. And so does the Padres. They would love to face the Giants.
You know who doesn't want to face them?
Who?
The Rockies.
Oh, okay. No, they do not.
Thank you, Rockies. They do not.
All right, injury report. Going back down to Santa Clara. This is not good news. Javon Kinlaw currently questionable.
What?
For Monday Night Football against the Rams. He was sidelined during practice Thursday as he deals with a knee condition, a reoccurring problem for him over the last few seasons. Also questionable, Eric Armstead. Eric Armstead is still questionable with the foot injury after missing last week's game. Head coach Kyle Shanahan said Armstead's condition is improving and the hope is he will be available for Monday Night Football against the LA Rams. Let's hope those two guys play. They need 99. They need 91. The injury report brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Sponsored by Fremont Bank, Full Service Banking, No Compromises. Mark Ibanez, the legend. What is he doing in retirement? We'll ask him coming up next on The Roast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.